Because my co-host today is Naima Javani. She's a child development psychologist based at the Human Relations Institute. She works with children of all ages, from newlyborns right up to the 12, 13-year-olds and the teenagers. If you are facing any challenges or issues with your children today and are looking for some advice, then you can text Naima and she'll get her support. We'll offer our support this morning. But also parents as well, as your role as parents, your parenting skills. Naima runs parenting skills workshops and can help you as well if you're finding a little bit of a struggle this morning. Now, a text message came in just before the news there, Naima, and this is from a gentleman, father and husband, saying, "My wife is from EU and I am Arab. We have two boys, 9 and 7. My wife is so calm when she talks to them and she allows a lot, and I have, unfortunately, this Arabic temper. For them, I'm the no dad. It's difficult to change. Is it really that bad if the children live with both different temperaments? My wife urges me to change."
Yeah, I love this text only because it's so wonderful. I think, A, that it is a dad texting in. B, that this dad is very aware of, you know, an area that he needs to improve in, or some kind of, you know, he's acknowledging, I have this issue, I have this temperament, I have this sort of temper. What do I do, and is it okay? One of the most important aspects in your particular family's case is that the mother can balance you out. You know, where you start to produce these maladjusted children is when both of you are extremely hot-headed and the child is only exposed to this, these, you know, flared up temper tantrums all the time. You know, if you can't change, it's not easy to change, and that's okay that your children are being subjected to two different types of tempers. What's wonderful here is that you are willing to change. You know, you see an opportunity, to a certain extent, an awareness. And being aware is 50% of the battle won. Being aware that I have a little bit more of a heated tendency, can I perhaps approach this a slightly different way?
Mm. And I want to be a good dad and be a good husband.
Yeah, and as long as those are your intentions, with your best intentions that you're parenting your children. One of, I think, the most powerful ways is, you know, when you find that you're getting to this level where you're about to explode, come up with a timeout signal that everybody in the family can use. So it's either your children telling you, "Dad, you might need to calm down," or you able to say, "You know what, let's just take a timeout. I don't want to say anything that's really mean that I don't mean. So let's come back to this discussion in half an hour." And that's a very mature way of dealing with it, as opposed to flying off the handle where your child is seeing something that's very frightening to a certain extent, and at the same time you may not even be solving the problem. But being able to take this timeout signal as and when you need to is a very important aspect. Other things are, you know, are there things below your anger? Can you try and identify what is it that particularly triggers that, and perhaps try and get to the source and, you know, make allowances for that so it doesn't get that far?
Yeah, you can recognize when those triggers are there.
Yeah, and if you have sort of flown off the handle, it's okay. As long as you go back to your children, apologize and say, "Look, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean it. This is something that I'm working on, that I'd like to work on, and I need your help on." Just the humility will be appreciated by their children. And these children are 9 and 7. They will be able to understand that, you know what, dad's struggling with this a little bit. That's okay. You know, and don't be surprised if they pick up some of these heated tendencies. But the wonderful thing is they're always going to be balanced out by the other member of the family, being the mother. So don't beat yourself up about it.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I think generally across the board with parents, it can come into play. You know, not necessarily about temperament, but it could be on other matters where you can get children identifying the mother for one thing and the father for the other, because it can work both ways. Yeah. It could be the mother that's the no mom, or the, you know, and then you get this scenario, these scenarios where the children start to work out what they can get away with one parent and not the other, and who they go to ask for things and not the other. And it's, so it's an interesting one, isn't it, about, you know, rule setting and discipline and beliefs, values from the parents. Especially with any two people, there are going to be hopefully a lot of similar values, but there will be crossover, there will be conflict.
Yeah, I think you've touched upon a very interesting thing, which is just being united. As long as both of you support each other, it's very difficult for the child to find a loophole and constantly play one against the other. You know, as long as mom supports you and says, you know, it's okay, let dad calm down, as opposed to, gosh, your dad's going to fly off the handle again. That's a very different, two very different messages that the children are getting. The first one is mom acknowledges, you know, dad acknowledges, and we need to acknowledge as well and come back to this at a different time. The second one is dad has a weakness, so let's attack him for it. Very different plays involved here. Very different impacts on the way in which the child sees the parent as well.
What about the child that comes home from school and says, or maybe just thinks, why are my parents like this? Or why is our family like this? When I've got this, I see people at school, and they, whether they've got more things or whether they're allowed to go and do X, Y, Z, and my parents won't let me. You know, why can't you be like so-and-so's parents? Why can't you be more like the parents I watch on TV and see in programs?
Buy me a billion toys and get to stay up late all the time.
Yeah, which, you know, to begin with, you can go, okay, fine. But that a resentment can build up in a child against their parents that can become very deep-rooted right through into adult years.
Somehow
they feel that they've been hard done by, or their parents have let them down in some way.
Yeah, which is why this constant, this balanced approach to parenting of, we can set boundaries, but we need to compromise, you know? It's not necessary for the parent to win every single battle. And a couple of times, the parent will have to give in, humble down to the child, and give in to their request. And it's important for the parent to let the child know, this is what you want, and we're giving this to you. And that's a very important message for the child to be able to think, yeah, fine, it's not always mom and dad's way. Sometimes it's my way. But I think, you know, a saying, perhaps, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get this right, but cut your cloth to your own measure. You know, so that's an important...
Cut your cloth according.
According to, and that's an important sort of statement to constantly stick to. These are our family values. These are our family traditions. These are our family rules. They have other rules that they're going to stick to outside of this family, but that does not concern us. As long as we stick to our own rules, and we're all making up the rules together, an important message to send your children, you end up with sort of better adjusted families.
Message here saying, my 12-year-old is always whining. She never seems to like any child, especially in front of me. I've tried asking her, but she doesn't reply. She doesn't like me talking to other kids either. She feels a bit insecure. I don't know what the solution is. She's always been whining. She's always been a whining child. Interesting, isn't it? So sounds like a very dissatisfied child.
Yeah. And, you know, things to consider is, are we giving in to this whining behavior every single time, therefore strengthening this behavior? This child needs to be able to learn. It's the calm, asking politely without the whining that's going to get me what I want. And unintentionally, parents are sometimes reinforcing that inappropriate behavior.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder if you check yourself and think, am I negative about people? Am I moaning? Am I kind of, you know, am I, without realizing it, actually, is it always the cup's half empty rather than half full?
A study from Yale University said that children, all children, whatever age, tend to have two negative words to one positive word when it comes to emotional expression. So mad and sad versus happy, angry and frustrated versus calm. And the idea is, who do you think they're getting this from?
Right.
You know, it's their environment, it's their parents, it could be their teachers, it's their peers. We're constantly bursting into rooms and saying, gosh, I've had such a terrible day.
Yeah.
When is the last time you've ever burst into a room and said, I haven't had such an amazing day? Or I've really enjoyed spending time with you. And this approach is, can I balance out my vocabulary as a parent so my child is picking up aspects of this vocabulary? You know, and going back to this whining child, the one or two times that she doesn't whine, even if it's out of 10 times, you know, one or two times that she's not whining, praise her. Say, I love the way that you asked for that so politely, you know, without the whining, so to speak. I know that you'll be able to engage in this behavior more often. Other things are, this child is obviously having, you know, a lot of difficulty socially. Without knowing, you know, the full sort of picture, it is important for this parent to kind of look into this to a certain extent. Are there deeper symptoms? Is the child able to spend enough time with the parent? You know, we need to sort of restore that balance to a certain extent. You know, is it a constant irritability, constant social withdrawal, constant, you know, changes in appetite, changes in sleep, lots of fatigue? If all of those are accompanying this child's symptoms, then that's something a little bit more serious. that the parent might need to get a further consultation on.
Yeah, for sure. And along the way, if it's about these negative kind of whinings, is to always come back with the positive side of it. So when and this is for any age,
adults.
When somebody you feel is just in this sort of pattern, this repetitive pattern, behavior, negative behavior, they, you know, when they're saying, "Oh, I don't like that child," really, why don't you like that child?
Yeah, break it down.
They were great smile. They were very. I think they wanted to be your friend. You know, they really liked you. It's a shame you don't like them. That kind of thing.
It's sort of challenging these cognitive distortions, to put it in psychological terms. It's saying, is it really like this? Do you have evidence to prove that this person didn't want to be friends with you? What is that evidence? You know, and it's just challenging them to sort of start to break that cycle and think in a slightly different way. So yeah, that's a really good point.
And lots of messages to get through. When we come back, we're going to be sharing a story from a dad who is feeling the guilt with his two wonderful angels, as he calls them. They're now in their 20s, but may have some regret of their upbringing. So we'll share that story and more in just a moment.